Amen. All right. Well, let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 1. Last week we started, we started a new series, and it's going to be on the supernatural. And the reason what the Lord gave me for, I always pray, and I want to recap a little bit of last week just in case for those that weren't here. But I pray every year about a word from the Lord, just about direction, which direction, what He would have us minister on, where He would have the church focus on, and different things for the year. And this year, the Lord gave me a couple words, and they were just simply this. The first word He gave me was family, and then He gave me supernatural. And as I was praying that out, here's what the Lord told me. He said that, and then He gave me actually a third word right before the first of the year. And it was this, and as I was praying that out, He said this. He said that 2017 is going to be a supernatural year for your family. Amen. And what He said in saying that, here's what He said as I continued to pray that out. He said this. He said that it will be a year of complete victory for your. Well, He said it'll be a year of complete supernatural victory for every part of your life. Amen. And we started last week looking at that and kind of dissecting that. What does it mean? What does it mean to be? What does it mean when he said supernatural? What is supernatural? Well, supernatural is just a combination of those two words. Natural, which just basically means what you can do, what in the natural. It's your abilities, your understanding, your brains, what you can accomplish by yourself. And then super, just when you put those two words together in a spiritual context, what that means is just this. It means that God adds His ability to your ability. Now, I don't know about you, but I like His ability a whole lot more, because just my ability by itself is nothing. I can do very little. But when God's ability gets put on top of me, then guess what? Then I'm doing things according to His power, according to His strength, according to His wisdom, according to His provision. Come on now. I mean, and that's a whole lot better than just doing it in my own strength and in my own provision and my own wisdom. Amen. So as the Lord started showing me that, He gave us a couple of scriptures we looked at last week, and one of them is here in Jeremiah chapter 1, and the reason this is important, we sang about this morning. BJ talked about it. Tanya, even in her testimony, talked about it. You know, that one of the things that you have to be able to do, if we're going to walk in the supernatural, if we're going to experience the fullness of what God has for us, and don't let that freak you out when you just hear me say walking in the supernatural. You know, so many words, the enemy has done such a good job of scaring people with words. When you hear supernatural, a lot of times you think your mind automatically goes to the occult. It goes to, you know, New Age. It goes to, you know, oh, that's just weird stuff, you know. But don't let it do that. Because listen, God is the original supernatural God. You know, the enemy has taken the supernatural and he's twisted it and perverted it and tried to take a hold of it and tried to get people afraid of the supernatural and to be manipulated by the supernatural and things like that from his standpoint. And there's no doubt that the enemy has done a good job in that. People are hungry for something bigger than themselves. That's the reason that you see these ads on TV, especially late at night. You see these ads on TV about them reading your fortune and about call this number, a psychic hotline and all this. You see these ads everywhere. Well, why is that? Because people are hungry for the supernatural. They just don't know where to look for it. And that's the reason. And the reason they don't know where to look for it is because the church has done a terrible job of brokering the supernatural, of showing people the supernatural. We should be the ones. People should be coming to the church to find the supernatural. Amen. Instead of going to a 1-800 number, or going to a New Age, or going into the inner cities, or going to the occult. Come on, I mean, we should be the ones that are showing people how to operate in the supernatural things. Because God is a supernatural God. You know, and so if we're going to walk in the things of the supernatural, we have to understand some things about it. And last week we really focused on the fact that one of the key points about the supernatural is this, is that you have to see things the way God sees them if you're going to walk in it. BJ, when BJ got up and started talking about the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind, I mean, you couldn't have had a better lead-in to this sermon, because you can't be carnally minded. You can't think naturally and expect to walk in the supernatural. You can't see things just with your natural eyes and then expect God just to do everything to fix everything. There's a whole nother atmosphere that we can go into, and is where we go above what we can only see with our eyes, but we get into our spirit. And we start experiencing, we start seeing what God sees. And when we see what He sees, then guess what? Then we can operate in that level. We're talking about faith this morning because the only way that you can operate in the supernatural is by faith. The only way we receive anything from God is by faith. You know, the whole thing about unbelief, you know, if you walk in more unbelief than you do faith, you're not going to be a successful, you know, and I'll say this term lightly or loosely, but you're not going to be a successful Christian if you have more doubt in your life than you do faith. Because the whole thing about being a Christian, which just means, you know, being a Christ follower, being a follower of Christ, being, you know, having Him as our leader, having Him as our Savior, our Lord, the whole thing about that is that we put faith in Him, we put trust in Him. And if we have more unbelief or more doubt in our lives than we do faith, then we're not going to walk in the fullness of everything He has for us. Amen. Now here in Jeremiah 1, real quick, just verse 11 and 12, And I'm just going to go over this real quick, and we got some other things to look at this morning. But verse 11 and 12, this is the scripture the Lord gave me here for this. He said this, and this is the first part of Jeremiah here, of course, is where God shows up to Jeremiah and starts having a conversation with him. And he told Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you. You know, I mean, I knew the call that I had on you and even before I formed you in your mother's womb. And he's having this conversation with Jeremiah. He goes on to say this. He says, in verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me and said, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And if you weren't here last week, you can get the message and I go into a little bit more detail. But basically, here's what I want you to see in that. The Lord gave Jeremiah a vision and asked him the question, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. I see an almond tree budding. And we talked about how that the almond is very interesting because the almond tree is the first tree to bud, and it buds in early January. And isn't it interesting that the Lord gave us that scripture that what do we see? The first thing that we should see is God doing something new in our lives, that God doing something, God bringing things to pass in our lives here in the first of January. But Jeremiah just said, I see an almond tree. And God said, you've seen right. And because you've seen right, I'm going to quicken, or I'm going to hasten my word to perform it in your life. So when we see things the way God sees them, then the quicker we can see the way He sees it, the quicker we'll see that come to pass in our life. But if we don't see, what if Jeremiah had said, well, I see a hickory tree. Or I see a oak tree. Then God couldn't say, well, I'm going to hasten my word to perform it, because that's not what He showed him. And see, so many of the times, and I want to ask you this question. What if God were to ask you, what if He were to come up to you today in a vision? We leave here, or even while I'm preaching, you have a vision, and you have a vision of God, and He asked you this question. What do you see? What would you say? Oh, man, I see a bunch of bills sitting on my table. Oh, Lord, how am I going to make it this year? Or I see my body hurting. I feel my body hurting right now. Oh, well, I see a bunch of people coming against me, a bunch of people that don't like me. I see a bunch of people doing this. I see a bunch of people doing that. Well, let me ask you the question. Is that what He sees? When God sees you, what does He see? When God looks at year 2017, when He looks at the calendar for this year, and I know God's not restrained by calendars, but we are, and we're restrained by time, and we think that way. But when God looks at you and says, what do I see for you in 2017? Is it the same thing that you see? And if it's not, then you know what? Then God can't hasten His word to perform it. But when you get with God and when you spend time with God, when you're in His Word and you have His Spirit living on the inside of you and He quickens those things to you and you start seeing things the way God sees it, then guess what? The quicker things will start happening in your life. Come on, man. That's good. And so, you know, we have to start seeing things the way God sees it if we're going to walk in the supernatural. And if we're going to see God. We looked at 2 Kings 13 where Elisha was dying and King Joash came up to him and he told him, he said, take the bow and arrows. And the king put his hand on the king's, or the prophet put his hands on the king's hand and he said, now shoot the arrow. And he shot it. And we talked about how that God will put his hand on what he tells you to do. What God, what is it you see for me in 20? You know, listen, the gold cards. You know, the goal cards we pass out. I don't do this just to hand something out to you. I want you to put things on here. I want you to pray about this. I want you to ask the Lord, what is it you want me to do this year? And then, you know what? As the Lord tells you that and you write these things down, then in the Spirit, I see God putting His hand on that bow as you pull it back saying, here, you can accomplish this. And He puts His anointing on it as He tells you what to do. And then, so he shot it, and then the king told him, he said, now take, he said, just as you shot that, he said, you're going to get victory over your enemies. And you know, and I liken that to having the Word and how God has given us these promises and how, but unfortunately the king, but then the prophet told the king, he said, now take the arrows and beat the ground with them. And he had just got through telling him, you've got victory over your opponents. And the king took the arrows and he just said, and the Bible says the prophet was wroth. And he says, you should have hit it 6 or 7 times. In other words, where's the passion? Where's the excitement? When God gives you a promise, why do we just say, oh yeah, I've heard that before. You know, let's just see if that happens. No, we should take that promise and say, that's mine. I've got it. Praise God. That's what this year's going to look like. I'm not going to be the same person. I'm not going to have the same things. I've got victory in this. And the prophet told the king, because you only hit 3 times. In other words, I think it was a lack of passion. It was a lack of interest. It was a lack of a passion, I guess is the best word. But he said, because of that, you'll defeat the enemy 3 times, but then he's going to defeat you. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of winning battle after battle after battle only to take a setback. I want complete victory. And that's the word the Lord gave us. In 2017, it's going to be a complete victory. Amen. And then Matthew 6, we finished up with Matthew 6 last week, talking about the 3 things He said. When you fast, when you pray, and when you give. You know, listen, we have things we can do to see the things of God come to pass in our life. But it's up to us. It's up to us. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Y'all okay this morning? Come on, this is good stuff, man. Matthew chapter 11. I had my sermon finished and went to bed, and the Lord woke me up about 3 o'clock this morning, and he said, here's the piece you missed. And he gave me this scripture, amen. And I was like, and actually BJ used it this morning. I was like, wow, look at that. You know, but this is incredible, because listen, how do we walk in the supernatural? What does that look like for us? I want to tell you this, it doesn't come just because you come to church on Sunday morning. Amen. You know, you're not doing God a favor by showing up for 2 hours one day a week. You're not doing them a favor. You know, it's the least you can do. That's the least. You know, Paul said, you know, that you need to submit your bodies. He said, it's the least you can do. You know, but here in Matthew chapter 11, listen to this, verse number 12, verse number 12. We'll just pick up this one verse. He said this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The Amplified says it this way, from the days of John the Baptist unto the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force. But listen to this last part. They seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. You know how you walk in the supernaturally? You take it by force. The supernatural is not for people that just sit back and just wait to see what God's going to do. If you want complete victory in 2017, it's time that you take it with zeal. It's time that you step up to the plate and you start saying, enough is enough. I'm going to start doing what God said to do. I'm going to start walking in what God said to walk. I'm tired of doing these, always fall into these things that I fall into every time. I've had enough. I draw the line. I'm not going back. I love that. He says that you take it by force as a precious prize. How many of you look at your Christian life as a precious prize? Amen. Walking in the supernatural. What does it mean to walk in the supernatural? Listen, when you start walking in the supernatural, you understand this. You start walking with God's ability. Think about that. What if the situation, think of the worst situation in your life right now. The worst thing that you're facing, it could be horrible. It could be terrible. But what if God came down and just sat beside you and say, and would just say to you, okay, let's get through this together. Here, I'll help. Amen. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Amen. Well, guess what? He's done that. And actually, he's done even better than that. He's not come alongside and said, he didn't say, I'll come and stand beside you and help you. He said, I'm going to live on the inside of you. And I'm going to give you everything you'll ever need to accomplish. Everything that you'll ever need to accomplish. Come on. Now listen to the Passion Translation. Puts it this way. We don't have it up on the screen. But the Passion Translation says it this way. From the moment John stepped onto the scene until now, the kingdom of heaven is entered into by force. And listen, I love this last part. And he says this, and passionate people have taken hold of its power. Passionate people have taken hold of its power. You have to be passionate about God. You have to be passionate about walking in the supernatural. You have to be passionate about having complete victory in your life to take hold of the power of it. Because all throughout the Bible, listen, all throughout the Bible, time and time again, think about the children of Israel. Think about how when Moses delivered them out of Egypt and God had promised them to go to the promised land and he had showed them and told them, you know, you're going to go to this land that's flowing with milk and honey and all these things and everything's wonderful. And of course they have the battle of, you know, the king comes and chases them and they're right against the Red Sea and all this. I mean, but then God provides time and time again. But then they get to the edge of the promised land. And they're there and because of their what? Because of their unbelief, they couldn't enter into the promised land. They were right on the edge of it. And instead of like a 3-week journey or a couple month journey, however long it should have took them, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. You know, now listen, you know the story. We won't take time to read it. But they got over there and they sent 10 spies. And God had spoken a word to them and said, that's your land. You can have it. It's yours. But they sent 12 spies in. They sent 12 spies, one from each tribe. They sent 12 spies in. They went and they saw the land and it was wonderful. It was, man, as a matter of fact, you know, I can't wait to get to heaven to see these because I love grapes, you know, and I love a good juicy plump, you know, grape, and they're wonderful. But the Bible says that they brought a cluster of grapes back, and it took 2 people to carry it on their shoulders. Now I've seen some pretty big grapes, but I ain't seen them that big. They carried back a cluster of grapes that they had to put across the shoulders of 2 men, and they said, "Here's the fruit of the promised land. This is what God's given us." But then you know the story. 10 of them rose up and said, "But, wait a minute. There's giants in the land. Everywhere we looked, giant, giant, giants." I thought God said He gave it to us. Why didn't He run the giants out? Giants. We're just grasshoppers. They said, we're grasshoppers in our own sight to them. And you know, and all the people, if you read that story, all the people, the Bible says, after Joshua and Caleb step up, the next chapter, it says that they wept bitterly because of the words of the spies. So all the people were getting an uproar. But Joshua and Caleb jumped up, and Caleb jumped up on the stage and said, everybody be quiet. And everybody looked at him, and he says, let's go up at once. We're well able. Amen. But wait, Caleb, didn't you hear there's giants? But what was Caleb saying? Caleb said, we've got the word of the Lord on it. He said, it's our land. He's given it to us. But the Bible says the people believed the word of the ten instead of Joshua and Caleb. And because of that, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know why it took 40 years? Because God was waiting for the children of the people that were in unbelief so that He would have a people. When they got old enough, then the last one of those unbelieving generation died off, and then God said, now I can do something with them. And Joshua and Caleb led that new generation in, and they were able to go into the promised land. But it's interesting that even in, you see it in all kinds of scriptures, but one in particular I'll just pull out is Deuteronomy 2:24. Deuteronomy 2:24, it says this. God told them, now in Deuteronomy, this is the kind of the recap of the whole story. But even when they crossed the promised land, even when they went into the promised land, here's what God told them. Listen to this. He said this, rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Shinon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Now, so God told him, I've given it to you, right? He said, it's yours. But now listen to this last phrase. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. I've given you the land. Now you go start to possess it and fight for it. Yeah. But God, I thought you said you gave it to us. I did. I've given you the ability to fight to take what I've told you is yours.
That's right.
Why would He do that? Why? If God said, I've given it to you, why wouldn't He just drive everybody out and give it to them? Because listen. God is looking for the passionate person who will say, I'll do what you say to do, God.
Amen.
Yeah, but what about the other ones that says that it can't be done? I don't care what they say. I've got the word of the Lord on it. I'm going forward.
Amen.
I'm passionate. I'm going to grab hold of the power of God, and I'm going to get what God said is mine.
Amen.
Oh, well, Pastor, that's just not me. You know, I just can't do that. Well, then guess what? You'll never walk in the supernatural. Listen. Faith is the instrument that God has given us that we can tap in to His power and that we start to be able to use His strength and we start to be able to use His wisdom and we start to be able to use His ability in our lives to do what He said we were able to do.
Amen.
Faith. Well, Pastor, I just don't know whether I believe that or not. Well, then walk in the wilderness till you die. I mean, isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but I believe in grace. Well, I believe in grace too. He gives us grace every day. But the grace helps us to believe. Come on. Grace doesn't take away passion. Grace doesn't take away grabbing hold of what God said and saying, it's mine. Listen, faith is the thing that will elevate you to where you can operate on the same level that God operates on.
Amen.
Faith. Pastor, how are we going to walk in the supernatural? By faith. You're going to believe God. You're going to take Him at His word. You're going to step out. And you know where faith thrives? Let me tell you this. Faith thrives on the impossible. Faith doesn't thrive on in your ability. If you can do it, you don't need faith. How do we build faith? Is when we step out into things that's bigger than we are. We believe God for things that's greater than our bank accounts. It's when we take God at His word, when everybody else is saying, do this or do that, and God says, here's what I've told you to do. Do this. Faith for the supernatural. It takes a passionate person to grab hold and say, it's mine. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you need to listen to the message that BJ preached Wednesday night. You know, because that, you could hear passion in his voice. You could hear him say, I didn't get it in the natural. I wasn't feeling it in the natural, but I made a decision. It's mine. I'm taking hold of it. Amen. I'm going to be changed. Amen. Turn over to, well, you're out here in Matthew. Turn back to Lord, help us. I wish we had a channel we could watch this. This would be cool. Because this is one of my favorite. I can't wait till I get to heaven to I see this. Matthew chapter 9. Chapter 9. Verse 27. Yes, I need the fast TV. I think we're fast in TV, so that's good. Yeah, I don't really watch that much TV. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite passages, and especially from the message. We'll look at one verse here in the message. But listen to this. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. It says this. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Do you see passion? They followed him. In other words, they didn't just say it one time, and then when they didn't get a response, oh well. I guess he didn't want to do it. They followed him, crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Didn't hear no. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Did he say anything? Nope. Jesus! They followed him. Now, it doesn't say they kept saying it, but if they're following him, then I am betting that they're saying it.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, he hadn't said nothing yet. Well, I'm going to make sure he heard us. Jesus! Mm-hmm. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yes, Lord. Then verse 29 says this, Then touched he their eyes, Jesus touched their eyes, and said this, According to your faith, be it unto you. Listen to the message. Put the message translation up there. I love the message translation in verse 29. The message translation says this. The message translation says, He touched their eyes, and He said, Become what you believe. Become what you believe. We sang that song this morning. Look into your eye. Look into his eyes. That's a song that one of the team, Stacy wrote, or who wrote? Alan wrote it. Alan wrote that song. Look into his eyes, and that song says that. Look into his eyes. See yourself the way he sees you. Amen. Saved, healed, delivered. Amen. Become what you believe. Let me throw this out there. Just think. Look straight ahead. Don't elbow anybody. Don't look at anybody. If you were to become what you were believing for right now, what would you be? In all seriousness, come on. What are you believing? Are you just believing to get a doctor's appointment next week? Are you just believing? Are you just hoping and praying that you get a raise so you can make that bill, that extra payment that you got? Come on now. What are we doing? Are we living like everybody else? Are we just being just another person in this world that doesn't touch the supernatural, that's not walking in the kingdom of God? Or are we really and truly believing that we can do the things the Bible says?
Amen. Amen.
Now, Pastor, you're putting too much pressure on me. Well, what did Jesus tell them? He didn't say, now go out here and do 1,000 push-ups and 600 sit-ups and then maybe you'll get healed. He looked at them and he said, Do you believe that I can do this? Yes, Lord, we believe. Then according to your belief, be it unto you. You know how much, listen, you know how much of the supernatural you're going to walk in this year? According to your belief, be it unto you. So if you don't walk in any supernatural this year, it's because you're not believing for it. If you're walking in that much supernatural, if you just get a taste of it, it's because that's how much you believe for. But if you want complete victory, if you want to walk in the fullness of the supernatural, if you want to see miracles happen and you want to see things change in your life, then you're going to have to passionately grab hold of it and say, God, I'm going to believe you with everything in me this year. I'm getting rid of the doubt. I'm getting rid of the unbelief. And I'm going to believe you. Amen. So how much of God's ability can you walk in? Is it all available or just a little bit? Is he withholding it? Is he pouring it out just in a little measure here and there? Guys, listen, it's according to our faith. You look all throughout the Bible. How many times did Jesus tell people that came up to him? You know, according to your faith. What are you believing? You know, there was another situation where somebody came up to him, a blind guy came up to him, and Jesus asked the craziest question. What do you want me to do? I remember Brother Hagin telling that story. Brother Hagin told that story about this guy. This guy came up and in the healing line, and Brother Hagin said he noticed he was limping when he walked up there. He had called something out, and he had called like a hearing problem out, I think, and the guy raised his hand, and Brother Hagin called him up, whoever, you know, was going to do, believing for that. And this guy was limping up there. He could barely walk up there. You know, just you could tell he was struggling just to walk up there. And he got up there, and Brother Hagin looked at him, and he said, what can I do for you? And the guy said, well, you called hearing out. He said, I'd like to be able to hear again. And Brother Hagin looked at him and said, is that all? No. He said, okay. And he prayed for him, and the guy's ears opened up just like that. And the guy's like, you know, praise the Lord. You know, man, I can hear. And he turns around, and he starts walking, hobbling down the aisle again. And Brother Hagin said, stop. Wait a minute. Come back here. And he said, is that all you want? And he said, and the guy just looked at him and said, well, he said, I figured I won't bother the Lord with anything else. And so Brother Hagin said, all right, go on back to your seat. It's all he was believing for. You know what? That guy could have walked away totally healed. Because the power of God, listen, it's not going to dim heaven to do three things in your life this morning. The lights aren't going to flicker in heaven. Oh, no. Oh, we got 22 things in Destiny Bible Church this morning. Oh, dear Lord. How are we going to do it? No. Come on. I mean, the power of God is here. The power of God is present. The power of God. How do I reach it? According to your belief. You know, if you look at you've just got to start where you are. I hear so many people say, well, Pastor, I just don't know whether I can believe for that much or not. But you just have to start. And I tell this story so many times, you're probably tired of hearing it. But the very first time I ever heard Brother Hagin speak, when Stacy and I, we were looking for, we had gotten married. I had come out of a denominational background, and we moved to, after a year, we moved to Knoxville, and we were part of a Spirit-filled church, and it's where I got Spirit-filled, and many, many wonderful things happened there. But we knew that I needed some more education for what God wanted me to do and some more training. So we were partners with like Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Creflo Dollar, and Jesse, and we were sending our support into them, and we wrote them a letter and said, hey, where would you recommend to go to Bible school? You know, I feel like I got a call on my life. I just need more more training. And all four of them sent letters back, and they all had different colleges, different things. But the one name that was on all four of them was Rhema Bible Training Center. I never heard of Brother Hagin other than just hearing Brother Copeland talk about Dad Hagin, you know. And some of them talk about Dad Hagin. Well, so we went to Tulsa. Stacy's dad and mom had heard of it and knew kind of a little bit about it. So we drove to Tulsa and just to check the place out. We were on our way to Southwest Believers Convention that year. And we drove up to Tulsa first just to check it out. Stacy and I, we got out of the car that day, pulled into the parking lot there in front of the administration building, got out of the car. We were in the back seat. She got out on one side. I got out on the other side. Our feet hit the ground, and we turned and looked at each other over the car, and we're like, we're supposed to be here. And you know what? That week, within the next 3 days, I had called home, turned my two-week notice in. We found an apartment. We found a place to live. Stacy turned her notice in to her job, too. And 3 weeks later, we were moving to Tulsa, Oklahoma without knowing anybody. Because we just knew it was right. The first day of class, Brother Hagin gets up, and it's the first time I've seen pictures of him, but it's the first time I've seen him in person. And he gets up and he starts ministering, and he makes this comment. I can still see it. I know where I was sitting in the classroom. I mean, it's just as vivid as it was the day it happened. But I heard Brother Hagin make this comment. He said, you know, you've got to start where you are. He said, the next time you get a headache or the next time you stub your toe, he said, don't go run into the medicine cabinet and get an aspirin. He said, believe God. Because if you can't believe God for a headache, how are you going to believe God to be healed of cancer? And you know what? That made such an impact on my life. Because I realized, you know what? Not everybody's in a place where they can believe God for cancer. And Brother Hagin would always say this too. He says, you're not going to be driving a Corvette with Pinto faith. Y'all remember them Ford Pintos? Little bitty cars. He says, you know, if all you got is Pinto faith, you're not going to be driving around in a Corvette. You know, you got to start where you are. And you might say, well, I don't have any faith. I have very little faith. I don't know how to do it. Well, then the next time something little happens, believe God. Start where you are and say, God, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you, God. I believe your word's true. Now, here's what I'm believing for. And then watch God do it. And the more times, you know, and I always like it to the old Westerns, how when those old gunslingers, when they would kill somebody, they'd scratch a notch on the stock of their gun. Well, why would they do that? So every time they touch that stock of their gun, hey, I've been here before. I've already killed 15 of them. I can kill another one. That's not really good theology, but that's the way the Western world worked. Amen. But those gunslingers, that's why they did that. Because when they put their hands on that gun, they said, hey, I've been here before. This ain't my first rodeo. And it took the fear out of it.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you never have a faith victory and then you get thrown in a big old battle, you're going to have trouble. So you have to start where you are. You have to start today. You have to start this afternoon. You may be here today with a headache. You may be here today just saying, oh, dear Lord, I wish this thing would go away. Well, then just instead of thinking about going home and taking medicine, just say, you know what? I'm going to believe God today.
Amen.
I'm going to believe you to heal me of this headache.
That's right. Amen.
Or you may need finances. Listen, I don't know how many people I've heard tell the testimonies about their finances where they just started and just started saying, Lord, now you know how much I need by such and such a date, and God, I'm just going to trust you, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to do what you tell me to do, but I'm going to trust you that you're going to bring that in. Now, when you're trusting God, it's no different than finances or healing. That don't mean when you're trusting God that you just go sit on the couch and don't do anything.
Amen.
I mean, because God may tell you, hey, pick up the extra shift at work this time. Now listen, it don't mean you have to do that every time. But you have to start where you are. And then as you grow, as your faith grows, you can start believing in for supernatural increase. Come on. And you know, the Bible says that he, in Proverbs, it says that he adds wealth and adds no sorrow with it. So that don't mean you have to work three jobs the rest of your life. As a matter of fact, God don't want you working three jobs. That's a whole nother sermon, but that's true. But now listen, let me ask you this. We're finishing up here. How much complete victory do you want to walk in 2017? It's according to your faith. I heard all of it. I mean, listen, you know what? You can.
Amen.
But you know what? Some of you may be here today and you might just say, well, man, I remember when Jim Hockaday was here and he said that one time a couple years ago. He said, you know, most people's faith is just this. Well, I just hope this year is just a little bit better so I can make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So I don't have to struggle so much to pay my bills. You see how natural that thinking is? Instead of saying, God, I'm believing you to take care of this to where I don't have that burden anymore. You see, we've got to start seeing things. You've got to ask yourself, how does God look at this? What does God see? When God looks at my situation, does He see me working 3 jobs for the rest of my life? Does He see me having to deal with this pain for the rest of my life because the doctor said there ain't nothing they can do? What does He see? And then we have to start lining up our mouth with what we see that He sees. And you know, and I said this last week, I think, too, but Bill Johnson made that comment that I just love. First time I heard it, it just resonated with me. He said this. I heard him say it the other day. I was listening to him this week, and he made this comment again. But he said this. He said, I don't have time to have a thought, to meditate on a thought that's not in God's, that God's not thinking about me. I don't have time. I don't have time. It's wasting my time for me to meditate on something that God's not thinking about.
Amen.
Now, just let that sink in. Because how much time do we waste on thinking just how we're going to barely get through? God's not thinking about how you can barely get through. God's thinking about how He can take care of this whole thing to where you can get through that, and it can be a testimony, and you can help other people and just totally take care of that whole thing. Amen. We have to start seeing things the way God sees them. If we're gonna walk in the supernatural, how do we do that? We walk in the supernatural by faith. We have to start believing God. And you have to start where you are. You know, you can't start out where Kenneth Copeland is today. You know, you hear testimonies and man, I mean, listen, I love to read. I read stories of Smith Wigglesworth. I read stories of all these guys that had these powerful ministries and raised people from the dead. And you know, if I tried to step out and do what they did without the training, without the Holy Spirit preparing me for that, I'd be a horrible failure. But guess what? When you start believing God and you start adding faith and you start walking in the supernatural, you get elevated to that level to where God's at. Now listen. Please hear me. I'm not saying that you become God or anything like that. Don't think weird thoughts like that, okay? But you get to use His ability. It's the same thing. He gives you the same power that He gave Jesus.
Amen.
There's no difference. Amen.
Amen.
Faith will elevate you to where you can operate on the same level that Jesus operated on while He walked this earth. Because everything He did on this earth, He did as a man, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Walking in the supernatural. Believing that what His daddy said was right. Not doubting. Not having a second thought about, well, you know, did Dad really mean that when he said that? Listen, I read something really bothered me this week. And people are being taught this, though. You know, people are being taught that God puts sickness on people. That God will that if you don't listen to God, and if you don't listen to God, He may even have to kill you to take you out of the world. And people are listening to that stuff. Our kids are being taught that stuff. Guys, listen. It's time. This world is looking for men and women that are walking in the supernatural power of God, and they're starving for it. You want to know why people you want to know why people flock to people like Todd White and people like that? It's because they're out doing the kingdom work. They hear stories. You hear stories about, you know, about the things he does out on the street and the encounters he has out on the streets with people. And it's not anything that you and I can't do. It's just the fact that he's doing it. And the world is starving for that. The world is, listen, your world, the sphere of influence that you have right now, they are starving for you to step up to the plate and say, I am a believer. I believe God. They are. They're waiting. They're looking. So my question today is this. How much of it do you want? Seriously, I mean, don't answer that out loud. But I want to ask you, I want to leave you with that question today. How much of the supernatural power of God, how much of the complete victory that is yours, that He said is yours, how much of it do you really want this year? And then the answer is this. Here's the answer. I mean, the answer is simple. It's according to your faith. But here's what you got to do. You got to understand. It's not as simple as say, I believe. Woo, praise the Lord. I got a T-shirt. I got a bumper sticker. I believe. Think back to that scripture there in Matthew, the one we opened up with in Matthew 11, especially the Passion where it says, the Passion translation where it says, the passionate grab hold of the power. Listen, faith is not passive. Did you hear me? Faith is not passive. If you're in faith, you're not just ho-humming it. If you're in faith, you are aggressive. If you're in faith, you're going after it. The God kind of faith. So I want to leave you with that question today. How much of it do you want? Now listen. I could lay hands on you and I could pray and that the power of God fall on you and that's wonderful and that's great. But you know what? When it comes down to it, that's not going to change how much you receive from God. Amen. This message today, as we start 2017 and we're getting ready to enter into the fast and listen, it's a perfect time for you to prove not only to God but prove to yourself, you know what? I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this. I'm not going to let 2017 be just another year. I'm not going to get to December and look back and say, man, I wish I would have done that. Amen. I'm starting today. I'm starting tomorrow. I'm starting as soon as we leave here. And you know what? I'm going to be passionate about the things of God. I'm not letting anything stop me. I'm not letting what the people say. But listen, people will talk regardless. People are going to talk. People are going to say things. And you've got to get to the place where you say, you know what? That doesn't bother me. Think of the story. Think of the story. Was it Jairus where you know, in Mark chapter 5 there that he's going to Jairus' house and you know, the woman with the issue of blood interrupts him. And that's a whole, I mean, man, I love that whole story. But he finally gets to Jairus' house and everybody's weeping. Everybody's crying because she's dead. But you know what happened? When Jesus cast them out and told him, said, everybody leave. You know what? Their crying went from crying to scorn and laughter. They went from crying to starting to laugh at Jesus and started talking about it. Who does he think he is? That little girl's dead. He don't know what he's doing. Well, look at that. Ha, ha, ha. Who does he think he is? You know what? If Jesus had let what people say about him affect him, then Jairus' daughter never would have been risen from the dead. You've got to get to the place where you just say, you know what? I could care less what people say about me. Yeah, are people going to talk? Yeah, they're going to talk. Yeah, they're going to say things. They're going to laugh. They may even cry. I don't know. They'll laugh, cry, talk, whatever. Let them do whatever they're going to do. All that's important to you is that you keep your faith in Jesus. And what did Jesus tell Jairus? Jairus, only believe. according to your belief, be it unto you. And when Jairus kept believing, even when he saw him crying, he kept believing. He saw him laughing, he kept believing. He saw him talking about Jesus, laughing at him, saying, Jairus, don't let him go in your house. He's a crazy man. He kept believing. And you know what happened? He walked out with his daughter in hand, healed. Now who's laughing? When you start walking in the supernatural power of God, those people will turn around and they'll start running to you. Hey, tell me about that. Talk to me about that. How did that happen? According to your faith, be it unto you. Now listen, you may be here today. I do want to give an invitation because I can't not give an invitation to receive Jesus. But you may be here today and you may say, Pastor, I've never even met Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him. But man, I sure do. Today I would sure love to get to know him, and I would sure love to have a relationship with him like you're talking about. If that's you, you know what? Today could be the greatest day of your life. Because there's no greater day in my life than the day that I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen. And today could be that day for you. So anybody here, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus, I'm not a Christian, I don't have a relationship with him, but I sure would like to know more, would you just slip your hand up? I'd love to be able to pray with you. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, because listen, you're in a group of believers that will love on you and support you and encourage you. Amen. We'll celebrate with you. Hallelujah. Anybody at all, just say, I'm not a Christian and I really need to have a relationship with Jesus. Anybody at all? Let's stand up to our feet. And I will, listen, I don't mind praying for you. I love praying for you. I mean, I'm a prayer. I love praying. I love ministering. But really, this sermon today, it's more about a heart issue with you. It's more about really just settling in your heart. How much of God do I really want? How much of God am I really going to allow to minister to me? Am I going to make the decision? Am I going to make the decision to be passionate about the things of God in my life? Am I going to put things down, put things aside, and am I going to say, you know what? I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to live for Jesus in 2017. You know, and that's something that only you can do. Only you can do that in your heart. So let me say a prayer over you. And if you need prayer, if you need healing, if you need prayer for whatever, Stacy and I'd love to be able to pray with you. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But for the purpose of today's sermon, I mean, you know, it's something that you have to go home and settle in your own heart. But if you need prayer, I want to invite you to come down. But let me just say a prayer over you first, and then we'll pray for anyone that needs prayer. Father, I do pray right now, Father, for each person that heard this. Lord, each person that'll hear it on the internet or on iTunes or podcast. Lord, we just pray, Father, my prayer is that 2017 will not be just another normal year. Father, that the fire, the passion, that each person here, that fire will be rekindled in their heart and they'll become passionate for the things of God again. Father, that we grab hold of it passionately and without regard of what other people say or what other people are doing. We say, Lord, we'll believe. I believe. And I'm going to trust you. Even when it doesn't look like anything else is happening, I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. So, Father, my prayer is that fire would be kindled in each person here in 2017. And I thank you for that, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now, if you need prayer, I want to do this. If you would like prayer, I want to encourage you just to come down, and we'd love to be able to pray with you and encourage you and love on you. And, you know, because that's a wonderful thing to have friends love on each other. Amen. And so if you need prayer, I want to invite you to come down and we'd love to be able to pray with you. Anybody at all? I want to encourage you this evening at 5, we're going to have corporate prayer. We're going to start our fast tomorrow. If you hadn't got those prayer cards, I encourage you to get one of those prayer cards. Fill it out, get it back to me. You can actually email me or Facebook or message me, and You know, and I'll get it up here so we can pray. You have something?
Yeah.
Ms. Tanya's got something, so y'all listen up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, are you're talking about just ladies?
Oh, well, the men need women to come in, but fine.
Yeah, this is just for the ladies, so. We're gonna be doing something with the men as well, but this the Lord laid it on Tanya's heart just for the ladies, for a ladies group. So Friday night at 7, if anybody can make it, and then we'll look.
We don't have that care, but bring them and we'll figure
it out. So Friday night at 7 here at the church. So just show up at 7 o'clock. We got a couple to pray for, and let me pray for them, and then we'll get going. Hey guys, I want to pray for you.
No, for me it's just it's got envy.